The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
I'm Chris Morocco, food director of Bon Appetit and Epicurious, and this is Dinner SOS, a new podcast from Bon Appetit. On each episode, we'll take a call from a home cook facing a real dinner emergency. Then I'll work with one of our editors or someone from our amazing test kitchen to try and solve it. Because cooking for the people you love should inspire joy without a side of stress. Make sure you're following Dinner SOS wherever you're listening now.
Hello, my favorite people in the world, and welcome to Conversations with Cam. I have been toying around with changing this name for honestly a year now, but more seriously for the past 3-4 months. And I am overwhelmed by the change because change really seems to stir some shit up for me right now. I'm not going to lie, the day of this recording, I'm in my own head, okay? I have been living in the prison that is my mind today. But I have been toying around with changing the name for the show because I feel like it doesn't represent what the show is anymore. And I can give context and history and all of that and take you on the journey, and I'm going to. But I'm very excited to be with you here under our new name. So if you're curious, like, oh, is stuff changing? No, it's not. Just the name, the intro, the closing, and the graphics. So like from a consumer standpoint, nothing will really change other than those things. But logistically, we'll walk down memory lane, okay? So I started my account, which was Freckled Foodie, when I was still working in the corporate world. I was in sales and trading. I was living a very different life, and I was dealing with a bunch of digestive health issues. And through that, I started cooking more, and it was like kind of the birth era of the food porn account on Instagram. And I started posting and making recipes and having fun on this like secret account where my face was never shown. It was very much, I wanted to keep church and state separate. I didn't want anyone at work to think I wasn't taking my job seriously or for like clients to find out. I also had these fears of like what the girls in my college who didn't like me were sending to each other in their text messages. So I just didn't want my face anywhere on it. LOL now. And it was completely separate, and it was such a creative outlet for me, and I loved doing it, and it was so much fun, and I started to really enjoy it more and more. And I always said this was like a red flag, but then when I was interviewing Danny Meyer, he said that's actually a green flag, and that has stuck with me for so long. The fact that I would sit down at my desk every morning for work and I would want to go on like Well and Good, Mind Body Green, Eater, Food 52, The Infatuation, all of those websites instead of The Wall Street Journal or see what's happening in the market. And I kind of took that as my first, like, maybe I don't care about this job as much as I care about other things. And then it became very obvious. I'm not saying that your job has to be the first thing you care about at all. I think there is a lot of positive things that can come from having a job that's not like your hobby or something you're deeply passionate about and it's just a job. Like, I actually am very jealous of people who have that and have those boundaries and their job is just their job now. But then I felt like I really wanted to try to see where this could take me. And I never thought it would turn into what it is right now. But when I was still at JP, I was doing this account on the side. I was like meal prepping all of my meals and posting about that and all of the meal prep I was doing. I was in school online to become a health coach. I was cooking for all of my friends. I was writing recipes, and I was really burning the candle on both ends, like up at 4:45 to work on this, to get to the gym, to get to the desk by like 6:45, to work until 5:30, to come home, to work on this all night, all weekend. Like, I was really doing insane things now that I think back on it. But I was just very set on like trying to see how I could make this grow. And it was the work ethic of someone. I mean, I was just doing things I never could have done now because I have children. Anyway, I eventually quit that job after I had a life-altering moment. This is probably a replay for many of you, but whatever. I had I was hit by a car while I was crossing the street. I suffered from a bad concussion. I was on disability. It was when I started meditating and journaling. And this actually ties into another topic I want to talk about later in terms of like a healing era and being more in tune with myself and clear. And it became very clear to me that that job is not what I wanted to be doing anymore. It was great for the stage of my life. I have no regrets. I'm so grateful for my time and experience there. But it was turning me into a worse version of myself mentally and emotionally. I left to pursue this account. I was doing all food content. I was prepping for people inside their homes. So I was doing like meal prep for them, a la Wishbone Kitchen, like times negative 500, because what she does is insane, but like that type of stuff. I was doing health coaching, and I think I have no idea how many followers I had. I wasn't making any money on my account. 6 months after that, I realized I didn't really love being in like that service client facing role within Manhattan, especially. So I took another leap of faith and was like, I'm really going to focus on the content side of things. Alas, here we are. So within that, A, I always want to acknowledge there's so much fucking privilege in the ability to go take those leaps of faith that really stem from my financial privileges, from just honestly growing up, the fact that I didn't have student debt to pay off. I was able to save money from my first job and therefore take that leap of faith. You get the idea. The second thing being, my content was always, once I started sharing more about myself and I was comfortable being on the platform, it was very much about like my life. And it was very honest about what I'm experiencing and what I'm going through and all of those things, almost like a virtual diary, if you will. And I actually had this conversation the other day when I was on someone else's show where they asked, you know, how does it feel to not have a necessary niche? And I think it's one of the greatest things that has helped me with success. And I think it's probably also my downfall. But with that, I have just continued to evolve my content the way that my life has evolved. And I remember being so terrified when I got pregnant that everything was going to change and I didn't want it to be all motherhood stuff. And I was really hell-bent on that. And then the reality is my eyes were really opened to a lot of different things that people went through during pregnancy, during postpartum and all of those things. And that's what I wanted to focus more of my content on. And then parenting and lifestyle and all of those topics that we now discuss. So with that, do I still love food? I do. I do not love the decision fatigue that I feel around food, if we're being honest. And someone actually asked me, I had a Q&A box on my Instagram stories saying like, when do you feel your content really shifted from food to more lifestyle? And I think it was probably with my pregnancy because A, I had healed my relationship with food where I wasn't obsessed with every fucking morsel and ingredient that went into my body. I felt very free around it. Excuse me. Oh, we're on day one of our 5 days solo parenting and I'm already tired. Why is that? I don't know. I think actually I do know. It was just an early morning, but whatever. I was so obsessed with every ingredient that went into my body. And because of that, I was trying to control everything. And that's what led to a lot of the recipes and a lot of that content. As I started to heal my body with food, I still enjoyed the food content of things. But then once I got pregnant, I was honestly just disgusted by food. So the idea of cooking was foul to me. And then after having a kid, it just fell on the back burner. And especially now after two children, food is just, the idea of food content is something that does not light me up. Because A, I have so much decision fatigue around food that I just want someone to tell me what to make. So I can't fathom like thinking of ideas to tell everyone else what to make. B, it's not the reality of my life structure right now. Like that 5 o'clock when I'm cooking dinner is chaos. Like it's not a pretty time to be filming. And could I do that earlier in the day and then eat a cold meal? Yeah, but I personally don't want to. And I also, the main thing is I just felt like I connected with more people and I fostered a really strong community and I felt like I was personally having a more positive impact talking about other topics than food. So that's why it has transitioned. We dropped Freckled Foodie and made my handle Cameron Oaks Rogers. I don't know when it was, a year and a half ago. And I was very hesitant to do that, but then I was really happy I did. And with the podcast, I feel like there's this just missing puzzle piece. If you're a new listener or someone sends you my show or whatever, it's like, what is Freckled Foodie? Why are we talking about postpartum and mental health instead of food? And that's where I think it's been lost in translation. And to be totally frank with you all, this podcast is one of my favorite things I get to do. I love it so much. I love the ability to connect with so many of you. I love having guests on here and connecting with them. It's so much fun for me. And it has become a, you know, pillar of my business. But I also struggle with it a lot because I beat myself up a lot. I'm very hard on myself. It's really easy to compare in this industry and see what incredible success other people have been given or not been given, what incredible success other people have achieved. And I really wish, this is something I'm trying to rewire my brain on. I really wish my first initial thought was, that's so amazing. I'm so happy for them. Instead of, and this is ugly and I hate admitting this, but this is true. Instead of, how did they do that? Why can't I do that? And I don't know why my brain is wired that way. I don't know if it's from being like a hyper-competitive kid from sports, from being pushed really hard growing up to be the best. I don't know, but I really dislike that my brain does that. It's something I'm constantly working on. And when I say I'm working on it, I literally will try to change the language. So when my brain does that, I will say, nope, no, no, no. I am so excited for them. That is amazing. They deserve that so much. And this is twofold. The first being my initial mindset is a scarcity mindset. And I don't like that. I want to have the abundant mindset because I do think there's enough for all of us. But my second is I see it on the flip side as the creator. I see when that happens to certain consumers and leads to certain commentary, whether it be in other people's videos or in my DMs or comments. And I want to tell them, like, my success does not take away from your opportunities. So why can't I remember that when I see other people's success? And that's what I'm trying to get through to my head. One way I have been filling my cup lately is finding time for hobbies outside of the house, like extra bonus if they're outside, that have nothing to do with my work or me being a mom. And one of those things has been golfing. I have been trying to spend a little bit of time back on the golf course. I grew up playing. I really enjoy it. I just have never prioritized it. And the driving range has been so fun for me to just get out there, do my thing, have some fun, not take myself too seriously, and spend time outdoors. Similarly, I'm also trying to get into tennis. I took some lessons last year. I'm trying to get back into it. I really want to be good at it and enjoy my time playing. Along with these new hobbies, I obviously need a wardrobe to not only feel good in, but look cute. So that is where I turned to Roback. I am obsessed with everything I own from Roback. They were created because they needed activewear that could transition seamlessly from one activity to the next. They couldn't find it, so they made it. I love that I can throw on an outfit. Honestly, I can play tennis in the same stuff that I can golf in, same stuff I can go do school drop off and pick up groceries. Like, if I throw it on, I can be in it for the day. What I have, I love their Luna sleeveless zip. It's like a sleeveless polo, perfect for golf. Their Renewal quarter zip long sleeve is what I typically am throwing on over it. The Steffi Active Skort I have in a few colors and I love it for golf or tennis. It's lightweight and breathable to match your active lifestyle. They've built in shorts with a liner that is important because it has an elastic strip to keep them in place, along with hidden pockets to secure all of your belongings. And then also the Tempo Performance hoodie and jogger, but that went home with my mom because she happened to be here when we got it. And I think she's worn it every single night since. If you haven't already, now is the time to try out some Roback. Use the code Cameron on roback.com for a generous 20% off your first order through the end of this week. That's spelled R-H-O-B-A-C-K.com. That's 20% off all hoodies, joggers, crews, and more with code Cameron. Stay comfortable this spring with Roback. So all that being said, I really felt like a name change was necessary for the show. I wanted to be more confident sharing the podcast and sharing the name of the show and not having people be like, wait, what? You're who? And also just having a larger reach when it comes to potential guests. And all that being said, this name change, I'm not going to lie, has brought up a lot for me because it makes me realize how currently I feel not very in tune with myself and very susceptible to other people's perceptions and opinions. And I don't even mean like trolls on the internet. I literally am talking about just people in my life who aren't giving me negative opinions. It's just, I don't know why I'm so wired right now to lean on other people to make decisions for me, such as the name of the show. Like, I don't know why I really needed other people to help me decide things instead of just being able to do it myself and trusting my gut. So I'll walk you back. Basically, the initial name of this show when we were rebranding was going to be Fill Your Cup, which obviously I love. Hence, I'm in the Fill Your Cup merch, which is available for sale. I will link it in the show notes. 10% of the proceeds go to the Jed Foundation. And the name of my new Substack, which I also want to get into for a second after this. And I really wanted there to be that like synergy between everything. However, there are some shows that already exist called Fill Your Cup. And while mine would have been Fill Your Cup with Cameron, and it wasn't something that I took an idea from someone else, I just didn't want to get in the weeds with that. I didn't want there to be any confusion. I didn't want any potential drama around that. And quite honestly, what I've learned in this experience is that there are so many podcasts and it's hard to find a name that other people don't have. Other ones we were toying around with are like, You're Not Alone, Both And, Duality. We had the idea of the overflow to play into Fill Your Cup, but literally I was like set on that. And this is what I mean about other people's opinions. My mom was like, what is that? And I was like, and immediately I was like, no, we can't do it. We can't do it. We cannot do it. And she apologized and was like, isn't it funny? Because I would have never, ever even heard my mom's opinion about my work because my work wasn't forward facing when she was in the corporate world. But because mine is, it is susceptible to other people's opinions, both people I know and not. But I relied so heavily on my team to hold my hand through this process. And I don't know what it is right now about me that's feeling so fragile, but I really just leaned on them. Actually, I'm sorry, I do. I had a baby 6 months ago. Like, I cannot discredit that. I don't know why I continue to. That is why. However, they held my hand along the way. I'm forever grateful for them. Kelsey, Chloe, and Sydney, I owe you my life. I'm not lying. And this is where we ended up. And I'm very happy with it because it feels very me. I like that it's the kind of like conversations is more of like the serious because we were between convos and conversations. And then Cam versus Cameron brings in a more playful. I think it's that duality of the show where we can talk about serious things and have fun. And I'm very, very pleased. Okay. So the decision is done. I'm happy with it. I am happy and excited to move on. It has taken a lot of brain space and time and just constant back and forth. Now, why do I feel so ungrounded? What's the word for ungrounded? I don't know, floating in the abyss and fragile. I can't discredit that I had a baby 6 months ago because that's very real. I'm very aware that this was part of my peak of postpartum depression the first go around. And it's nowhere comparable to that. Typically, I do not feel depressed. I'm having a hard day today, but typically, all in all, I would not say I'm struggling with postpartum depression. And I'm so grateful for that gift and blessing of having a different experience this go around mentally. But I just don't feel connected to myself. And I've mentioned, you know, the brain fog, the word recall. It just feels like my brain is not really connected to my body in the way that it once was. And we use the term like mommy brain. I know it's actually real. Like, I know scientifically things are changing in your brain when you're pregnant and after you give birth, but it's hard to even put into words that disconnect that some of us feel. And I feel it deeply right now. And I think because of that disconnect, I do not feel grounded in myself. And I mentioned a while back when I was like about to quit my job, I had started meditating and journaling and I was really on top of those two things. I meditated every single day, twice a day for 20 minutes and I journaled every morning for a good 10 minutes. The reality is I did not have kids then, okay? Could I make the time for that? Probably, but it's not my top priority right now. And to be totally frank, hasn't been for a while. I have not been meditating. I have not really been journaling a ton. I haven't been allowing myself the time and space to tap into my emotions and have kind of been numbing myself by constantly keeping myself busy. And whether that be work, whether that be things around the house, whether that be reading a book or listening to a podcast or listening to television or scrolling on my phone, obviously spending time with my kids, like in that sense, I feel present in those moments, but I'm not like assessing my emotions as much when I'm doing that because I'm busy playing with them. I haven't allowed myself time to just like sit and breathe and process and feel. And I think so many of us are actually doing this where we're constantly, constantly seeking stimulation. And it's a weird mix of I constantly feel overstimulated, yet I constantly am seeking stimulation. My brain is addicted to the feeling, even though I know cognitively, I don't like it. And that's why I beat myself up sometimes if I'm like scrolling on my phone and 15-20 minutes go by and I'm like, why? That was such a waste of time for me. And I'm not saying that consuming social media is necessarily a waste of time, but when I am like mindlessly scrolling just to numb myself, I personally believe that's a waste of my time, or it's just not how I want to be spending my time. So I'm really trying right now. I say I'm in my like reconnecting to myself era. I'm really trying to get back into a place where I feel in tune with my emotions. Now, let's talk about the ridiculous video that I posted of the healing work that I did. So all this being said, I have been really wanting to get more in tune with myself. And growing up, we had a healer. I got a lot of questions about this, so I will explain. Growing up, we had a healer that we saw maybe every 3 weeks. She came into our life by total coincidence. She originally came and was working on my mom, who has psoriasis, and it had gotten pretty bad. And she was really trying to figure out how to, you know, I don't know if fix it is the right word, but handle it. And our healer was doing what I would equate to, in terms for people to relate, Reiki, but hands-on kind of. And she then started working with my younger sister around her own stuff she was going through, and me with physical stuff I was experiencing from, most of it, I guess, was around sports at that time. Then it was through college, some of the concussions I experienced and sports injuries from lacrosse. And then post-college, I would go home to Princeton to see her to work on digestive stuff. And then after my accident, it was working with my concussion again. So basically from 2001, probably 2002 actually, to 2019, so 17 years, I worked with her pretty regularly. Then, you know, COVID happened. I wasn't going home as often. I had kids. I haven't seen her in a while. But she hands down has changed my life, hands down. And the work that she would do was so altering, where I would enter this other dimension. And because we worked together so regularly, she really was in tune with my body. I was in tune with her energy. It just flowed. And I would enter this like meditative state and she would just fix me. I don't even know how to say it otherwise. And there were moments where in college, if I was really injured, my trainer at school for lacrosse was getting certified in myofascial release, MFR. And I was very receptive to that work because my body was so receptive to like alternate healing modalities from the work that I had been doing with our healer, that she would practice MFR on me. But for certain injuries, she would literally be like, I think you should go home and see your healer. And I would. And I remember there was one, I punctured my eardrum in a game because I caught a goalie clear and I turned to go upfield and this girl ran into me and she was taller than me. So like her elbow hit my ear and it completely punctured my eardrum. And I remember our healer working on my ear and just screaming this guttural release I did. And I kind of like came to and was like, did that just happen? Did I imagine that? Or did I just scream bloody fucking murder? And she's like, no, you just screamed. And that is just such a clear example of like the energy release. You know, there are more clear examples when it comes to my mom's psoriasis, because none of those were invisible ailments like many of mine were with my concussions and my digestive health issues, where like you could clearly see the positive change in her skin. But yeah, I mean, she just did magical things to us. And since then, I've always been very open to receiving and seeking out these types of treatments. And even in New York, I would seek out a lot of these practitioners who were focused on healing modalities through body work. And I know I've talked about this at some point on here, but after my concussion, craniosacral therapy was something that helped me so drastically. So I feel very open to, I don't even want to call it woo-woo, but like I really enjoy and believe in the blend of Eastern and Western medicines. So all that being said, I have just felt very out of tune and not in a flow state. You know when everything's just like going your way, where you're just like flowing through life and you feel so positive and so happy and good things are coming to you because you're putting good energy out there? That's what I love. That's where I wish we all lived. And that's where I've been in certain stages of my life. And because I've been there and I know that feeling, I think when I'm not there, I'm even more aware of it because I know what it feels like to be there and I want to be there. And I'm not saying that I can permanently live there. Maybe I can. That'd be fucking amazing. But that's what I'm trying to get back to. Our family has been on a serious cereal kick, not only in the morning, but also as an afternoon snack. Like something about it just hits perfectly for that post-school snack. I have it all the time in the afternoon. It's a great afternoon snack for our toddler after school. And the one that we have been loving the most is Magic Spoon. I'm gluten-free, so this is a great option for me, but it's also just awesome for everyone because I love that they have so many different flavors, A, but B, the variety pack. The four flavors are cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter are delicious. At C, the pack has 0 grams of sugar, which I find very important, especially when I'm feeding it to my toddler, and 13 to 14 grams of protein, which again, I'm trying to get more protein in. I'm definitely trying to get him to eat more protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs with only 140 calories in a serving. Personally, I am a fan of the peanut butter and the cocoa combined. Slice some banana in there. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. My three favorite things. The cereal is high protein, has 0 grams of sugar, and it's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, whatever. If you are following any of those diets, they've got you covered. It's delicious. The easiest snack in the world. You just pour it in a bowl and pour some milk over it, and everyone will enjoy. Go to magicspoon.com/foodie to grab a variety pack and try it today. Be sure to use our promo code foodie at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. If you don't like it for any reason, they will refund your money, no questions asked. Start your day with a delicious bowl of high protein cereal at magicspoon.com/foodie and use code foodie to save $5. So with that, that is what led me to Babylon, New York. Basically, I saw on Instagram a post about this woman, Tiffany, doing spinal energy work. And if you've seen Goop Lab from like a few years ago, there was actually, he was on my podcast, John Amaral, I believe his name is, a long time ago during COVID. He was doing similar types of work where people would be on a table and their body would be contorting in these ways. And they look like they're having an exorcism. And as a consumer, you're like, there's no fucking way that's real. There was some famous, I guess, I don't know if she's a real housewife or someone who had like almost like an orgasm sound on one of these tables and it went viral. And when I texted this video to my girlfriends, they were like, oh my God, I always thought that was fake. Are you telling me that video was real? And I'm like, dude, I don't know what she experienced, but these videos that I'm sending you are very much real. So I had always been interested in the work. I saw a video of Tiffany doing it and I was just like immediately pulled and immediately wanted to be on that table. So I messaged her. She practices in Babylon, Long Island, Babylon, New York, and she does do virtual, which I'm going to start doing with her. I will put her links in the show notes and I believe she gave us a code. So I'll put that in the show notes also. But basically, it was an hour and 40 minutes. And I joke about this. I called my friend on my way out there and I was like, you will never guess what I'm doing. I was like, I'm driving an hour and 40 minutes for an appointment because I am so desperate to feel like myself again. And I guess this is what I do when I have a nanny and have the time. But Facebook Messenger. I'm getting rid of so much stuff on our Facebook groups, like our community gifting. Best thing that's ever happened to this house with our cleanouts. Anyway, I drove out there. And originally, like we connected immediately and she was picking up through my energy a lot of what I'm saying. And I got on the table and I basically, you know, she is working around me, kind of circling me. There's some light touch, but most of it is not touching. And she's working with the energy above me and around me and the flow of it through my body. And I don't want to mess any of this up because obviously I'm not trained in the dialogue for what she's doing, but I was just laying there. I can say it from a patient experience. I was just laying there. And in my head, I'm like, damn, I don't really feel anything. This is like the first 10 minutes. And she had said to me, you know, not everyone moves on the table. That doesn't take away from the healing experience or the changes that are happening. And I'm like, I really thought I was gonna like move around. I'm so receptive to this type of work. I really wanted to experience it. Maybe this is all fake. You know, like the critic in my head was going. And then suddenly my hand just kind of starts moving. And I'm like, that's weird. And I notice my hand is kind of circling. And I'm like, what the actual fuck is going on? Like this, if you're watching on YouTube, you're seeing what I'm doing. And I'm like, that is strange, but okay. Like that's all that's going to happen. And then like maybe 5 minutes later, my hips start rocking. And my hips do rock, like naturally, they always want to. In yoga, if I'm in like Shavasana, my hips are always kind of rocking, whatever. Actually, earmark this, Cam. I want to go back to the yoga point around this conversation because, yes, that's how I talk to myself. Because an earmark, don't even think that's a term. Bookmark, is earmark a term? I don't know. And basically, then my hips start rocking. And then I cannot even explain what was happening. The videos look like I'm having an exorcism, truly, on a table. And I'll post it again today so that you can all see this. But basically, my legs are like flailing. My hips are rocking up. It was like a convulsion. And what she says is, in the beginning, the energy was very blocked in the different quadrants of my body. So it was having a hard time flowing all the way through. So like I would kind of convulse in my top area. And like I felt that my chest would like push down on the table and I would almost like arch up and my head would kind of snap back. And then my hips would jolt up. And then later, like my legs would rock around and like my arms were flailing. And people were like, how did you not laugh? Like, you're in this in-between state where I'm aware my body's doing this, but not really. And I recorded it because I wanted to see and I wanted to end up sharing it. And watching it back, I'm like, what? I was doing that? Like, I knew I was moving. I'm more shocked at like, I don't know how she, I mean, obviously she's a professional. This is her job. She's a healer. But I would never be able to keep a straight face as the person like doing this work if someone was doing that on my table. And by the end, it was clear that like the energy was actually flowing from the top of my body through the bottom of my body. And then I ended up talking with her about like what she experienced in my kind of space. I bought two crystals to help ground me and just clarity. Like, I think that's, and she even said that, but that's exactly what I want. I just want more clarity. I do not feel clear on, I hate to say who I am or what I want or those things, but honestly, kind of, if we're being honest, I do just kind of feel like I'm floating in the abyss. And I got those two crystals and I have been really trying to prioritize tapping back into myself. So I have been really trying to get up before the boys and meditate. I have really been trying to journal. I've been trying to be more intentional. Maybe that's what it is, like intentional with how I'm spending my time, intentional with what I'm consuming, intentional with even going on a walk today when I was walking Charlie, like instead of being kind of, I don't know, either listening to a show or on my phone or calling a friend and just kind of zoning out, I did a walking meditation, a guided one, and I was really aware of my surroundings, which I fear I am not. So that's where I'm at. Alongside this, I've also been trying to go to yoga once a week. I feel very called to that practice. I found an instructor and a class that I love out here. And once a week, I feel I can properly commit to now. And that has been wonderful for me. But actually, I noticed in the session after my healing session with Tiffany, like 2 days later or 3 days later, I was laying on my mat and I kind of tapped out of the practice a little early and just went to Shavasana because you know what? You can do whatever the hell you want to do. And I didn't feel like doing wheels, or I don't even know what they did after that because I truly blacked out. I was in Shavasana and my body just started kind of rocking and moving. And it was almost like it was feeling this call to do what it did on the table with Tiffany. And I didn't, because I was like, that I think would terrify people in the wild. And I'm not trying to do that. But I let it move a little. And it was interesting to me of like, oh, okay, maybe the energy is trying to like flow through me again. And I know you might be listening to this and be like, what the fuck is this woo-woo shit this bitch is talking about? I understand that. But I think once you've done these types of practices and you've seen such clear improvement and you know what that flow state feels like, that then it makes sense. So that's where we're at in this journey. I'm excited for all that's to come with the show. We have some great guests lined up. I do want to chat really, really quickly about the Substack stuff because it's in line with certain things with the show coming up. So for anyone who is confused, which I totally understand, it's really hard to introduce and get people on a different platform. If you want to use the platform, it can also just be in your emails. But Substack is a website, but also a newsletter. So it coexists in both. So if you are a free subscriber, you will get the newsletter every Friday. The segment is called Filling My Cup, and it's the newsletter that has been going out for the past year plus every Friday. It's things I'm loving, things I'm reading, things I'm watching, things I'm doing, eating, wearing, the boys are loving, all that kind of stuff. There may be something at the end for paid subscribers that includes like an exclusive something, but that entire pillar of the newsletter will be free. Then on Wednesdays, so when this episode releases, for paid subscribers, you will get a little bit of like behind the scenes content of what's gone into the episode, what led me to make the episode, whether it's a guest, like backstory of our relationship or the origin of our meeting, content from them, some exclusive questions. That will go out on Wednesdays. On Monday will be Mom's Musings, and that will be for paid subscribers. And that is really content focused in the motherhood space. So that is whether it be journal style entries, guides, you name it, we're talking about mom stuff there. And alongside, kind of in tandem with all of these, there's the expert chats. And this was the idea I had from a long time ago that I've been trying to figure out what platform we can do this on. But expert chats are going to be monthly virtual events. Save the date for the first one. It will be May 15th at 8 p.m. Eastern. And these will be monthly virtual events for paid subscribers where we talk with experts in the parenting space about topics that I'm passionate about or that you guys request. So for the first one, we are going to chat with Jacqueline, who's coming on the podcast next week, all about maternal mental health and secure attachment. And what I want to do, a goal of mine, is to bring more experts on this show. So if there are topics that you guys really care about, slide into my DMs and have those conversations and then parlay that into these virtual events so that you all can be a part of the conversation also. So the events will work almost like a half interview, but half live Q&A ability to connect with one another in the chat room. They'll be over Zoom and ask questions to the expert yourself. So that is the Substack. I will link it all in the show notes, or it is linked in the show notes. I love you so much for listening. Thank you for being the greatest people ever. And, you know, I hope there's no confusion with this name change, but I'm very excited about it. And what would really help, and I would appreciate so much, is that if there's someone in your life who you think would like this show and you were like, oh, you should listen to this, send them a text, link the show and be like, hey, this show, love it for whatever reason you do. And I think you would too. And it just changed its name. So I'm going to help with their PR. You guys are the best. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Conversations with Cam. Your support means the world to me. If this episode resonated with you, please consider taking the time to rate and review it wherever you listen to your podcasts. Since word of mouth is the best way to continue to grow the show, please also consider sharing it with a friend who you think may enjoy it. To make sure you are staying up to date with new episodes, be sure to subscribe to the show and follow me on social at Cameron Oaks Rogers. See you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.